Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're bringing you a special edition of the show from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. We connected with former Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, who co-authored a report in 2021 about how Democrats can gain more rural votes, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, who attended the convention in his personal capacity. Steve Davies and I spent the week in Chicago speaking to delegates, elected officials, and industry leaders about what a Harris-Walz administration could mean for agriculture, climate policy, farm labor, environmental regulations, and tax policy. While Democrats approved a wide-ranging platform this week, Harris has done little to spell out any of her policy specifics. The one exception has been a speech where she promised to control food inflation by enacting a ban on price gouging. It's not clear how that plan would work, but her proposal was widely panned by leading economists who feared it would lead to price fixing. Sherry Bustos is a seasoned politician and former journalist, former member of Congress from rural Illinois, and was chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. We asked her what issues are most important to rural voters this year.
Well, I think, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the farm bill, because when I was in Congress, I worked on three farm bills. As you know, and anybody watching this who has interest in ag policy, we're already a year past the deadline of when we were to have passed a farm bill. My guess is when September rolls around, just next month, which will be the next deadline for trying to pass a farm bill, I think that they will not get it done by then as well. And look, this is the fundamental the foundation of making sure that we have good ag policy for our family farmers and for agriculture all over the country. And, you know, look, I won't try to get overly partisan here, but the House Democrats who are in the majority right now have not been able to get that done. It became this hyper-partisan piece of legislation. And so my prediction, if we want to talk about what's important, I think it's getting that farm bill passed, but my guess is it will not happen.
And what are some of the broader issues important to rural voters this year?
Well, look, I live in a town of 3,500 people in the far northwest corner of the state of Illinois. I can tell you that when we go downtown, and it's a historic downtown, you can't even text anybody. So that access to making sure that we have cell towers in rural America, to make sure that we have high-speed internet access in every town in America. You cannot have a small business in many of these small towns because you don't have high-speed internet. The Biden-Harris administration has the money to get high-speed internet to every corner of America. That still needs to be implemented and executed. But if Harris is elected as our next president, I see that as continuing. Same thing with the water quality when you're looking at rural America. If you look at USDA, rural development, there is money in there to make sure that the water quality is addressed at every in every small town in America, but that has to be executed as well. And then the other thing is I'm going to talk about ethanol. What are we going to do with sustainable aviation fuel? What is the future of ethanol when you look at this evolution to electric vehicles? And then the carbon capture that goes along with that. The Biden-Harris administration has these tax credits to execute on that. Probably the last thing that I hear from our family farmers is making sure that crop insurance is always, we keep that in the right place. It was the number one thing that I heard when I was first elected back in 2012 for that. And then going into that next farm bill, we actually got that in the right place for our family farmers and making sure that that's not compromised. You've got to have that strong safety net for our family farmers to make sure that they can stay in business and succeed and thrive.
Trump has seen support from across farm country since he first ran for office. What is your message to rural voters and in particular farmers who have supported Trump in the last two elections?
Well, I would say look at the facts instead of the emotion. The facts are that when Donald Trump was president, we had many of our family farmers were surviving because of subsidies. They don't want to survive because of subsidies. They want to thrive because we have good ag policy. Look at what was happening under the Trump administration from an ag policy perspective, and look at the ag and the farm and the rural policies under the Biden-Harris administration. And I would argue that the policies are better over the last 4 years than they were for the previous 4 years, where there has been investment in rural America. There has been making sure that rural co-ops can do well. To make sure that there is money there for rural development, that we are addressing things like the high-speed internet, that we are addressing things like the water, clean water supply. And by the way, I know there's sometimes arguments about Democrats that, we are hyper-focused and unrealistically focused on climate change at the expense of our family farmer. And I don't believe that to be true either. I think that you've got reasonable people who will sit down and have conversations. And I think that's what we're going to see under a President Harris. And maybe even more importantly, under a guy like Tim Walz.
We'll be right back with more from former Congresswoman Sherry Bustos right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Kamala Harris selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her vice presidential running mate. Sherry Bustos explained why Walz is someone that American farmers and ranchers can trust.
He comes from he was a farm boy, and he served in the military starting at age 17, like so many rural kids. We've got, we are overrepresented in rural America in the military. Tim Walz was one of those kids. And so he knows farm country. He knows farming. And by the way, he also knows hunting, like many of us do from rural communities. So this is a guy who isn't afraid to get his Carhartts on and isn't afraid to get his boots on and head to, the family farm down the street. So I am encouraged by what he brings to the table. He served on the Ag Committee, the House Ag Committee, so he even knows it from a policy perspective. So I think we are well positioned under the Harris-Walz team for the next 4 years in America and how that will look for rural America.
Environmental groups have been quick to support Walz's work in the climate change space. As one of his former colleagues on the House Ag Committee, can you tell us about his work on conservation and climate change from his time in Congress and what we may expect from him in the administration?
Yeah, well, look, I think when you're part of a political party, you have certain values that bind us together. As Democrats, one of those values that bind us is that we do care about the climate, but we want to make sure that we are, and I would say this about Tim Walz, that we want to get there in a way that makes sense for rural America. Those are his roots. And so I don't see climate policy coming out of the Harris-Walz administration that doesn't keep in mind the practicality of being a family farmer. But at the same time, they will emphasize climate smart agriculture. That will be part of it. That is, again, the politics of Tim Walz, of coming from a Midwestern state, an agricultural state like Minnesota, coming from a congressional district that is heavy in family farms and agriculture. So I think what you will see going forward is it will involve a lot of language and policy around climate smart agriculture. I believe that a President Harris will ask a Vice President Walz to be a leader in that space and help lead that policy. And I think we're going to get that in a good place.
During your career, Sherry, you've run for election many times in Republican-dominated districts, and you've never lost. What strategies are currently working in the Harris-Walz campaign outreach to rural America?
Well, so Tim Walz called me the weekend before he was actually named as Kamala Harris's running mate. And, you know, his name had been out there, but he hadn't been named as her running mate. And my phone rings and I see it comes up as Tim Walz. And so I answered and I said, "Hello, VP Walz." And he said, "Isn't this crazy? You know, I can't believe this." And I said, "Look, you've got a lot of your former colleagues who are really rooting for you and are weighing in and letting the Harris team know that we think you would be absolutely a perfect vice presidential running mate to her." And so why I share that story with you is as soon as he's named as VP running mate a few days later, I sent him a text and I said, "Look, you can take this or leave it, but here's my thoughts. Go to as many family farms as you can, as many small towns as you can, as many VFW halls as a veteran, a 24-year member of the National Guard. Go to the VFW halls and go to towns of 20,000 and fewer and 10,000 and fewer and let them know who you are and what you stand for."
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to see you.
We'll be right back with an interview featuring Tom Vilsack right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is attending the convention in his personal capacity. We asked him what messages Democrats are providing to rural voters and farmers during the convention.
Well, I think a message of inclusion. I think the Harris Wall, Biden-Harris administration has established a foundation of investments in rural communities to improve life across the board. The rescue plan, the Inflation Reduction Act, the infrastructure law, the commodity credit card, all of those investments have created a platform, a foundation for real progress. And we've seen this in a rural population now increasing for the first time in quite some time. We're seeing persistent poverty come down in rural communities. So something's working, and the question is whether we want to continue it or whether we want to go back to a circumstance and situation where we, in fact, had declining populations under the Trump administration. We had persistent poverty increasing under the Trump administration, a plan that they're proposing to increase the cost of American families of $3,800 through the imposition of tariffs, tax cuts that will be directed to the wealthy as opposed to the middle class. There's a real contrast here between the vision, between the investment, between the results of an administration that Vice President Harris has been involved with versus the administration President Trump led for 4 years.
There's been a lot of focus at the convention on issues like abortion. How do you think issues like that will play in rural areas?
Well, look, reproductive health services are incredibly important to women across America because they aren't just simply restricted to abortion. They include a broad range of healthcare services that are fundamental and important. I think the Democrats have conveyed a strong message to American women, which is we understand and appreciate you need to be in charge of your own body. You need to have access to healthcare services. You should not have to go through the gut-wrenching stories that we've heard from the convention this week, which are truly heartbreaking and unnecessary. And it's pretty clear from the Project 2025 document and the transition plan that they've put together that they're looking to restrain and restrict even further reproductive health services. And so I think there's, again, a clear contrast.
How do you think Walz's background will allow him to connect with rural voters, particularly those in deep red, Trump-heavy districts during past elections?
You know, a guy can take down a pheasant with a shot who's wearing that plaid shirt coming out of the closet. Look, he is all about small town and rural America. He understands it. He came from it. And it's not a situation where he lived in a small town. Small town is part of who he is. It's part of his DNA. So I can guarantee you that with Tim Walz as Vice President of the United States, rural folks will always be front and center, always be at top of mind, if you will, as policies are being formulated and implemented. Tim Walz is an excellent governor. He was a wonderful member of the House Agriculture Committee. He understands the intricacies of agriculture and rural life. And as a result, he's going to be a powerful force. And I'm excited about this because I think Democrats actually can and should be messaging not only a message of gratitude to people who live, work, and raise their families in rural places, but a message that, yes, we see you. We are investing in you because we know how important you are. We know that you're feeding us. We know that you are providing the power that we use in this economy. We know that you're hardworking. We know that you're sending your sons and daughters to the military in disproportionate numbers. Tim Walz knows all about that. In fact, he has been one of those young people wearing the uniform for 24 years. So excited about this opportunity. I think it was a tremendous pick and really, really excited about it.
We'll be back with more right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Kamala Harris has not detailed her own climate proposals yet. We asked Vilsack how a Harris administration would differ from a Biden administration when it comes to climate policy.
Well, I think I think it's an acceleration, if you will, of the understanding that climate creates an opportunity to transition an economy, to create better paying jobs, to bring manufacturing back to our shores. By having America provide leadership in a net zero future, being able to show the world how it's done, how you create clean energy, how you create clean transportation systems, how you create a cleaner construction industry, how you do this in agriculture, how you do it across the entire set of industries that make up an economy. Because of the foundation that's been laid in the Bias-Harris administration, a Harris-Walz administration can accelerate the job opportunities, can accelerate the income and the wealth creation that this is going to bring. And the great thing about this is a lot of it's going to have to be done in rural places, because if you're going to sequester carbon, there are only two places you can do that on land, and that's in a forest and on a farm. You can do it in the oceans. And so here, rural America, where are the forests? Where are the farms? They're predominantly in rural places. So it's an exciting opportunity that I think you'll see more investment in and more opportunity created from.
Farm groups have told us that they're optimistic about what a Harris-Walz administration could do for biofuel policy. How do you think a Harris administration could balance both biofuel policy with the electric vehicle incentives the Biden administration has worked on?
So I'm going to talk about this in a general standpoint because I don't want to get too in the weeds in terms of what USDA does, because that wouldn't be proper in the circumstance. But from a transportation perspective, the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation, the EPA, USDA, and other agencies have a vested interest in making sure that we not only continue what we have with the renewable fuel standard and continue to provide that fuel that's necessary for cars and trucks, because we're going to continue to have cars and trucks that need that fuel for a long time. we're still making those cars and trucks. We're still keeping our cars and trucks for a long period of time. So for probably the next 15 or 20 years, there's no doubt we're going to need that fuel. But the exciting opportunity is that we're also going to need that same kind of fuel for our jet planes and for our ships. Now, all of a sudden, you're not talking about a 15 or 20 billion gallon industry. You're talking about a 35 or 50, a 50 billion gallon industry a year. Holy cow. You're talking about a million jobs, most of which will be in rural places. You're talking about tremendous opportunities on this, and providing international leadership, where the United States is essentially saying, we're going to lead in sustainable aviation fuel development, and we're going to lead in the development of a variety of feedstocks that can be used to create that fuel.
Harris has suggested a federal ban on price gouging in the food industry, but many economists say such a ban could backfire on consumers and even create food shortages. How is this going to work?
Well, I tell you, there have been circumstances and situations during COVID where people took, or during the course of HPAI, that took advantage of circumstance and situation, and they upped the price just a smidge that they didn't have to. And that's the kind of practice that we have to be wary of and we have to be focused on. There's been a consolidation, and that consolidation has created the ability of some to essentially dictate prices that might be higher than they would be if there was more competition. So it's important and necessary, I think, for the federal government to be on the side of consumers. And I think that's essentially what Vice President Harris is saying. Okay, you got a choice. You can be on the side of the industry or you can be on the side of the consumer. We're going to be on the side of the consumer. We're going to make sure that it's a level playing field, it's a balanced playing field, it's a fair playing field. That may take more competition. It may take keeping an eye on folks. It may take a little bit of regulation in terms of people who are taking advantage of the circumstance. But whatever it is, it's a combination of things that levels the playing field so that when people go into the shop, go into the store, go into whatever, they know they're going to get a fair deal. And if they don't, somebody's going to keep an eye on it and somebody's going to force that fair deal to be developed.
To finish, tell us about your perspective working with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. What makes you most excited about these two individuals and the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, it's a combination. Vice President Harris comes from California, which, as you know, is a fairly significant agricultural state. So obviously that's front of mind for her. Tim Walz, because of his service in Congress and as governor of a state that is heavily dependent on agriculture, obviously in rural places, obviously will be a great champion. So it's the combination of the partnership and the chemistry between these folks. There's obvious chemistry. There's obvious connection between these folks, which I think is really, really important. I know that Vice President Harris is a collaborator. She's somebody that wants guidance from a variety of different points of view before she makes decisions. So I think that's a smart way to decide. And the fact that Tim Walz is in the room and maybe the last person in the room as that decision is being made guarantees that rural interests will always be in that room, always be part of the discussion. And I think that's just extraordinarily exciting, especially coming from a Democratic administration. A Democratic administration that she was part of that has made an historic investment in rural places. So this is not Johnny come lately or Kamala come lately. This is a true commitment as reflected in where the money from the infrastructure law, the Inflation Reduction Act, the rescue plan, where all that money went. It didn't go to urban centers. It didn't go to blue states. It went all over the country, and a significant amount of it went into red states, and a significant amount of that money went into rural communities. Not necessarily people that supported the Biden-Harris ticket, but that's her mentality. I'm president of all the people, not just the people who voted for me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more from the Democratic National Convention right after this.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. I'll be on the road at the Farm Progress Show, talking with farm group leaders and ag committee members. We'll bring you a special edition of Newsmakers next week from the event in Iowa. Congress will remain in recess until September 9th. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is agripulse.com.